If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
This is Steve Downs, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 441. Thank you, Steve Downs. He's our new hype man. That's it. You're stuck with Steve forever. And by stuck with, I mean blessed with. Your timeline's been blessed with Master Chief himself. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This is the world's number one Xbox podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Destin Legarry.
Bam! Hey, everybody.
Miranda Sanchez.
Hello.
And a very chatty Brandon Tyrell, who needs to monitor the timer that we're working with here.
I did not realize you had started counting down. I was just trying to do a PSA that they're putting in a driveway next door. So if you hear what sounds like destroyed concrete, that's probably it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That keep an eye on that timer on your screen, Brandon Tyrell, for all show related things. That is what we're up to, because that's how we're professionals. We pretend. We pretend convincingly that we're professionals. Anyway, coming up on the Podcast Unlocked this week, I want to start with Gears Tactics. It is out today. A bunch of us have played it. We'll start there. But also Phil Spencer teasing some big stuff coming up. I definitely want to spend time on that. And then drama in WWE land over at 2K. Some good news, bad news situation. Although some people might look at it as good news, depending on your point of view with that. So we'll get to all that. I want to start, as I mentioned, with Gears Tactics. It's out today. It is not out yet for Xbox, but it's out on PC. I've been playing a bunch of it. Brandon Tyrell, I know you've played a lot of that video game as well. You're in about the same place as I am, if not a little farther. And Miranda, you've dabbled?
Yes, I've been playing. I'm not as much as I'd like, as I was saying before the show. Since we work at our PCs all day,
yes,
I don't also want to be it all evening, so I've been playing kind of piecemeal. So not as much as I'd like, but just because I do need to get away from my computer at some point in the day.
It's totally understandable. Now, Brandon, you're, I think, the farthest along out of any of us. What are your thoughts on this game? Because it, for me, this is, I admit, I think, I'll just be honest, I slept on this game. Not that I was thinking it was going to be bad, but I just wasn't really paying attention to it at all, maybe because it's PC only and not Xbox, but boy, I fired it up and I've had a hard time putting it down. You?
Yeah. I mean, our review is live right now, and I looked over Dan's review and we actually had a brief conversation about it, and both of our points actually really mirrored each other kind of perfectly. We were both on the same sort of wavelength for the game, but I think it's really strong. It's a really, really strong XCOM game if you're familiar with that franchise, and I'm a huge XCOM fan as well. So I was going into it thinking that it was going to be sort of like Baby's First XCOM, or maybe XCOM Light, like a good introduction, but it's not. It's a fantastic tactical game that really does a great job at taking all the little details of Gears of War and baking them into that really, really well. So things like executions are meaningful. You've got your normal locust enemies and your main bosses, right? Which are some of the bigger creatures that you'll fight. But just like the active reload has nods and mentions in there as well. The you know, Gears of War is a third person cover shooter. This translates that so well with things like moving your characters around. And if you go into cover, you get to move a little bit farther, which is kind of an awesome nod to like slamming into a box or a concrete barrier or something. So I think it's a really solid XCOM tactical game, and it uses the Gears franchise really, really well. It's not just a licensed stab at the genre, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because that's as I started to think about it, I mean, I really liked both Halo Wars games. I reviewed one, I don't think both of them. I think I reviewed the first one for IGN, and Halo, I thought, translated exceptionally well to a real-time strategy format, which made sense because Halo originally started out as a real-time strategy game, as Bungie was following up Myth: The Fallen Lords, their game before Halo, and you know, with managing the units and Ensemble, the creators of the original Halo Wars, did a great job of translating the control scheme of a real-time strategy game to a gamepad, and it just felt good, played well, had the great blur cinematics, and was just super well done. But yeah, you're so on point with your observation about how the third person stop and pop cover gameplay of Gears is a perfect fit for turn based tactical strategy. It just works super well, and I'm super enjoying this game. Even I mean, if I had to pick I've had a few little like kind of camera issues here and there. I don't know about you, but outside of that, like the production value is super high, and it's Splash Damage is the co-developer on this. I think they're the kind of primary developer alongside with help from the Coalition. And Splash Damage is a studio that has their roots in first-person shooters. So this is just like really well done all around.
Yeah, I don't think they could have picked a better genre for this. I was trying to think of when I started playing it, I realized I never quite thought of the Gears franchise that it could work in a sort of tactical strategy game like this. Yeah. I was trying to think of other genres that they could move Gears into, but I think this is a perfect matchup, man. Like you were saying, that cover-based stuff, just it ports over so well. And again, I can't stress enough that like the level of polish from like the cinematic cutscenes in there to a lot of the lore and the world building that happens, admittedly, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I didn't think the character stories were super strong, but you know, they're likable enough to enjoy the characters. But it just all really works well. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell people that you should check it out if you're a fan of Gears or if you're a fan of XCOM. I think there's enough overlap there where both sides of that coin can really find something to enjoy out of Gears Tactics.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because the three of us that have played, because I think Destin, you haven't had a chance to dive in yet, have you?
No, but I've been watching all Mitchell's coverage and the gameplay. It's right up my alley. I love XCOM, so.
But I think with I'm going to toss to you here, Miranda. The you, me, and Brandon are sort of more. Actually, you and I are Gears fans. Brandon's more of an XCOM fan, so there is. And Dan and Stapleton, our reviewer, is XCOM's his favorite game ever, or along with maybe what Civilization. Like he's a big strategy guy, so it is. We have kind of both kind of. Intersected at it and really found the appeal, you know, and similar to how I'm not a big strategy guy, but I enjoyed the heck out of Halo Wars because I understood the language of Halo.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the same way with Gears Tactics, where I'm not really an XCOM. I'm not really a tactical strategy player, but I've been able to dive right into it because I understand the language of Gears, Miranda.
Right. So it's like you're able to see these set pieces and these enemies and these items and everything kind of put in this world in a really meaningful way. And I think that's what's exciting, is like getting to see something differently. I think obviously Gears is a super solid shooter. We love it. But like getting to see it put in like a tactical way is like really cool, because a lot of the enemies that of course were like maybe kind of a bother in the shooter are also still a bother here, like even more so maybe. And it's cool to see just how well they've made use of the setting for Gears Tactics. And I think I mean, like, I haven't beaten it, so I can't say, but I think it'd be really cool to see them keep exploring things like this with the Gears series, just to keep it, like, I guess, just varied.
Yeah.
I mean, not that the core series is lacking. It's just very cool to see them exploring and playing with different places in, like, a very serious way, and not just like, oh, well, as you said earlier, it's like a licensed thing that we just threw into some other genre and
yeah,
hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like, to your point about all the familiar enemies that come in, like, I like that they use the nemesists in a certain mission variety type where you have to just keep running forward to stay out of the bombing range of the nemesists. And you've got, like, when the Theron guards come out, you're like, oh god, no. And you have to make sure you are spread out, you're not all bunched together so you don't all get blown up at once. And the boomers, you know, they move slow, but and of course there are e-holes that emerge, and they'll last for three turns if you don't throw a grenade in there to fill them up. But of course the grenades are only good for once every so many turns. So yeah, it's exceptionally well done.
It's also a pretty good challenge. Like, I have a hard time with some of the levels. I guess just because tactically, like, I don't play a ton of tactics games. Like, I play Fire Emblem, but that's, like, very different from what XCOM does. And so trying to wrap my head around, like, certain things and, like, just being aware at all times of, like, how are all my units doing in health? Like, have they all reloaded recently? How could I combo people? Who should be near each other? Who should be away from everybody else? I kind of just, like, figuring all of that out is really fun and just so different. Mm-hmm. And especially with those Gears things, so like having e-holes or something and making sure that someone goes and closes it immediately is really fun. I'm just enjoying the hell out of it.
Good stuff.
There's a lot of cool little, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to move on?
No, go ahead. Finish the point.
I was going to say, there's a lot of cool little details in there as well. Like, they don't just throw e-holes in there as, like, monster closets, because that's part of the Gears lore. There are really cool ways to interact with all of this stuff. Like, if you have a gun that when you shoot a guy, it pushes him back, you know, I think it's called the disrupt feature. Yeah. Overwatch over an e-hole and an enemy pops out towards you, when you shoot him and knock him back into the hole, it's an insta-kill. So
yes,
like, there's a lot of really cool little details that they actually put a lot of thought into it. The way the progression works, the way all the different skills work together. There's a point where if you have a sniper and you build them the right way, you can shoot like 8 times per turn, which feels a little crazy and broken, but it is a very solid effort from that tactical side, not just a cool Gears port, you know?
All right, so our unlocked message is play Gears Tactics. Don't sleep on it. It's really good. Actually, one other point on this. I do feel like, because we have had it confirmed that it is coming to Xbox. Like, we know that that's happening. I would be not at all surprised if this ends up, if they get that release out for Series X launch and have that as another game optimized for Series X, but then of course playable on the One and the One X as well this fall. Because, you know, that's like 6 months from now. That's theoretically enough time for them to finish a console version. And, you know, unlike real time strategy, which is certainly harder to convert to a gamepad, and Halo Wars, I think, still has done the best job of it of any real time strategy game, but I think you'd agree, Brandon and Miranda, that this Gears Tactics could absolutely be playable on a gamepad, no problem.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, like, game's beautiful, right? Like, it looks really, really good. A couple of texture issues from time to time, but the lighting in particular, I think, is really awesome, which could marry, to your point, with the Series X launch, could marry really well with that onboard RT tech that they're talking about. So I could definitely see, like, this making its console debut with the Series X, you know, really touting that new lighting system alongside, you know, Minecraft, how they're gearing up with that ray tracing launch or relaunch as well. So, I could definitely see that happening.
And I kind of feel bad because I know a lot of people were really bummed that this isn't available day one for Xbox, because, of course, a lot of Gears fans out there, people who are just curious about this game, want to play. But I do appreciate that they are saying, like, hey, we really care about PC players, and, like, that's a different kind of audience. The way we want to build it, we want to make sure it was a really great PC game first. So I know it's a bummer, but it is cool to see that they are trying to cater to that audience as well. Just because like so many games are available on PC for Xbox. And so I think kind of doing it the reverse way is interesting. And I don't know, maybe we'll see more of that in the future, which might be to the dismay of some players. But the good thing is that it will be coming to Xbox. And I, like you said, I think having it with the Series X is just going to be the best way possible to do it.
Yeah, and you know, we already know that we're getting, on day one of Series X, we know we're getting Halo Infinite, and mm-hmm. we also know that we're getting a Series X optimized port of Gears 5. That was part of the initial sort of recent reveals that's all in the works for the Series X launch as well. So could be even though it won't be necessarily totally new games for Gears as it will be with Halo, we might have some fun stuff to play with Gears wise on the Series X to help show off the power of the new console, and that should be fun. This got me thinking too. Now that, all right, so Gears Tactics is out, I went and looked up the Metacritic on it so far is 81. So kind of the general critic consensus, which is exceptional. I mean, when you're rounding everybody up like that, 81 is impressive. And I'll tell you, you know, Xbox is from everybody has taken a lot of deserved criticism in recent years over the state of the first party output. I mean, look at last year, there were two first party releases, one bad, one excellent, but two already in 2020. And we're here at the end of April. Now we've already had three games and they're batting 667. They're 2 for 3. We had, again, Gears Tactics at an 81 Metacritic. You're swinging a miss of sorts. Sorry. I mean, all due respect, Bleeding Edge, I don't think anybody's going to really argue that that's a hit game, 67 on Metacritic. But then Ori and the Will of the Wisps, now this is real hard to do, to actually hit and keep a 90 or above on Metacritic is very top tier. I mean, that is upper echelon, and Ori and the Will of the Wisps has a 90 on Metacritic. So extremely impressive. So 2 out of 3. And just a quick rundown, here's what's still due out this year from Xbox Game Studios. Again, with the context, two games, all of 2019, two. So three already. We've got Minecraft Dungeons coming up. That's got a release date. We've got Microsoft Flight Simulator in the mix, which, you know, you could argue that maybe you don't want to play it because it's not a game per se, but there's a ton of interest and buzz around this. That series was huge in its heyday on PC.
Don't count it out. There's a huge market for Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's one of the biggest games we cover on IGN. People are really, really excited for that game.
Yeah,
and I just really want someone to stream it, and I want to tell. I want to send them places, and that's it. Like, can you go these places for me? I just want to see them.
Miranda's running a virtual Microsoft Flight Simulator like Uber Eats bracket. For the younger crowd, Microsoft Flight Simulator really dominated the 90s and the 2000s. Like, that was a very big. My best friend in the world actually learned to fly a plane just playing Microsoft Flight Sim as a kid growing up. And then when he went to do his pilot license, they were like, oh, wow, yeah, you're pretty good to go. It's a little more involved than that, but like, it is a very, very simulation-based flight sim. And I think this time around, just the fact that it's jaw-droppingly beautiful will be very cool to see.
Well, and the thought occurs to me too. I hadn't really considered this till I looked at this list and stopped and thought about it. But I don't know when Flight Simulator is coming out, but people might really want to indulge in it, given that we're all stuck at home. Like, a simulation game where you can go fly over cool landmarks and places in the world, since you can't really do it in real life right now.
Just might show me Hawaii.
A little extra appealing there.
Do we have any dates on that one yet, Ryan?
Nothing yet.
They did an alpha in January.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly going to be taking their time with it. I mean, I could see that being another one that maybe is a launch kind of game. Obviously, it's coming to PC, but as most of these, well, all of them are, but PC and a Series X version. Because if you want to experience it in the beautiful way that they've shown it, you're going to need a high end PC or a Series X to do that. And then, so moving down the list, Tell Me Why, which again, it's Dontnod has proven to be a very capable, very talented studio. And they're telling what looks like to be a very interesting story here in an episodic format. Then you've got a game we don't think about much because we haven't heard about it in a long time, but I would hope it's coming out in 2020 because it was supposed to come out last year, and that's Battletoads, the new Battletoads game. Then you've got Wasteland 3, another one that had suffered a delay at the hands of the work from home situation. That is now coming out at the end of August. No date on this, but again, until we hear otherwise, 2020. Psychonauts 2 from Double Fine. It is coming to PS4 as well because it was already in development for PS4 prior to the acquisition of Double Fine by Microsoft. So it doesn't count as an exclusive, but it's an Xbox Game Studios game. And then, of course, Halo Infinite alongside the launch of the Series X and what we all very much presume to be Forza Motorsport 8 as well. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 11 games that could all be out this year. But actually, Brandon, we're not even counting if Tunic ships this year as a high profile, super exciting indie game. And the one I know that spoke to me at E3 last year was 12 Minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm very interested.
I was going to ask you about that, actually, because I'm stoked.
I want Ooblets.
Ooblets, I know. Yeah, Miranda's been waiting a long, long time.
I have a list of like some of the indie games that they've been showing for a while, and I'm like, please.
Is Ooblets exclusive? Is that Xbox PC only?
As of right now, I think they still are.
Still are. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
nice. I think
online they have them listed as still Xbox PC.
I think the only game outside the one you mentioned that's also going to other platforms is Wasteland 3. I think that's hitting.
Oh, thank you. You're right about that. That is true. But still, again, it is an Xbox. It is for Microsoft putting games out.
Just like The Outer Worlds, was already in development before the ink was dry. So we're going to get. But Minecraft still is on every platform, right?
That's true.
So,
Minecraft's everything.
I don't know. Maybe they'll open things up. I don't know if you guys feel like this, but just it feels like all the major first parties are working together better than they have in the past.
Anyway,
so I'm very excited next gen. I don't know if the arrival of next gen consoles sort of rebuilds those walled gardens that we're kind of used to, but I'm really liking the cohesion and the synergy between Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft right now.
Yeah, you love to see it.
You love to see
you
it.
You love to see it.
You love to see it.
There's a lot of. A lot of reason to be optimistic. So again, that's what did we just say? 11 games, not even counting the ID at Xbox titles,
or plus the strongly rumored stuff.
Right. Plus, we've got another wave of announcements that will be coming from all the new studios now that they've been acquired. Like Brandon, the Pillars of Eternity team at Obsidian is doing. I also didn't include Grounded in this list because while it is there is supposed to be a release this year, it's a game preview, an early access release. So I mean, you could count it. I'm not going to count it here, but and then of course the second team at Playground, which we all figure to be making the Fable reboot and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, on that note, the game reveals they appear to be coming very soon. Phil Spencer taking to Twitter this past week saying, I reviewed plans yesterday at the time he wrote this for continued sharing of information through launch. The team is doing great work and adapting. I've never been more excited about Xbox plans. We've heard you. You want transparency and authenticity. We plan to keep showing that way. And the next step is not too much of a wait. Parentheses games. So it would seem that whatever the next event for Microsoft is going to be game related. Now, whether that's going to happen in May, as some scuttlebutt seems to be indicating, or the sort of more traditional early June window for what used to be E3, but sooner rather than later, the games are going to start to get announced. Finally.
Yay. I'm so excited.
I think sure in order for... Sorry, Miranda.
Oh, you're fine. I was just to say, I think everyone else is too, just for if they were to do a May showing, I wouldn't mind if they just do like little teases. It's like, all right, and then more at the beginning of June. And then they do their deep dive during like the E3 timing.
That'd be really smart. I think that would be really cool. I think in order for Xbox to move the needle, it's good that they're coming out with those temple items like Halo, Forza, and everything. They need new IPs. Hellblade 2 had such an amazing reaction on social just because of the technology behind it and how impressive that was. Imagine that was a really enticing new narrative-driven IP. Something like that would be really, really neat. Like if the new Fable ends up being a little bit more serious in tone, still has that sort of subtle humor, and the technology similar to what they've showcased in something like Hellblade, like with the lighting and everything, maybe not the facial tech because of the theme of Fable, but I think that would get a lot of people really talking about what Xbox is going to be capable of, especially right now when Sony has been so quiet.
So Dustin, to your point, I think also it's something that tonally that people are craving is just like something different. Yeah. So I think what I noticed with Hellblade was that is just such an aggressive, like dark trailer. Mm-hmm. And I think that caught a lot of people off guard because they didn't know what like Hellblade was, or maybe didn't get like how intense it is.
Yeah.
After that went up, I was kind of just like reviewing some of our old work, and I saw so many people going to our review and being like, who's here because of the Hellblade trailer and stuff. And it's like all those kinds of things just because people didn't know about this before. And I think, to your point, if they can really come out with something that's just like smacks you in the face because it's so interesting, then that's just going to be a great win to have alongside Halo and all of their other great IPs.
Yeah, a lot of people have pointed towards Grounded. I think Grounded is interesting, but I think narrative stuff are or seem to be what people are searching for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I said it on the podcast, but that last trailer for Grounded, it moved it from a game that I wasn't really at all interested in thus far to a game that, okay, you're getting my attention here. But I agree with you, Destin. I don't think Grounded, again, with all due respect, really moves the needle in a big way. But whatever Obsidian's other team is up to could do that. And then I want to ask you guys, do you think if we do have a games focused showcase coming up very soon, is this the time when the initiative unveils whatever it is that they've been building for the last 3 years?
Nope.
No, you don't think it's not yet?
Do I want it to be? Hell yes. Is it going to be? Hell no. They were like, just put together, you know? So like, there's no way they're revealing anything.
Not even a CG teaser?
No.
I think the most we get is a Metroid Prime
logo.
Like a logo?
At best, we got a logo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to their website right now to see how many critical jobs I still have open.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And that's why I say,
regularly, no. And there's careers. A bunch.
Yeah, and last time I checked, it's like, oh, you really need that to design your game. So it's probably
senior narrative designer. Senior writer. Yeah.
I'm gonna optimistically disagree with you guys and say that the next event is going to they're gonna make a ton of announcements and really say, hey, we've shown you the box, we've shown you how capable the console is. Now here's all the cool stuff we're doing for it long term. And then I think the event after that, which, you know, whether that's in the sort of the traditional E3 quote unquote time frame, will be more of deep dives on the launch games. I think we're going to get basically a long term games showcase. Like, here's early looks at some stuff that's a bit further down the road. And then I think separately from that, we're going to get the super deep dives on the 2020 launch window kind of games, where it's like, let's dig into exactly what you're going to be playing this fall.
So just going back to the initiative for a split second.
Do it.
There are 6 lead roles open right now. Lead gameplay animator, lead cinematic animator, lead audio designer, lead technical designer, lead online engineer. And that's it.
So it probably has multiplayer if there's an online engineer.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you're not disagreeing. You're not disagreeing with me though, Miranda, because like I said, I'm saying there could still be just teases for longer term stuff. So they might still announce it.
I feel like they could definitely lead some, or kind of lead with some like very light teases of what they're going for thematically with it. But as far as actual, here's what this game's going to be, I think it's going to be very far off.
I think, what else? What else, Brandon? What are we going to get announced here?
From the initiative? I think best case scenario.
In general.
Okay. To bookend the initiative, I think best case scenario we get is one of those EA is making Star Wars sizzle reels, where it's a bunch of B-roll of developers using their digital tablets.
Right.
We can't wait to show you what we're working on.
Right.
Which, you know, if there's nothing to show, I'm totally fine with that. But I don't imagine we see actual, you know, the nuts and the bolts of it.
I agree with that. Yeah, I feel like they just really have to nail showing off whatever this is, because I feel like they've really hyped up what they're trying to do here. They're like, we're trying to innovate video games with a quadruple A experience. I think, like, okay.
So here's the thing. I think I agree with you guys if it's a new IP, but if it's Perfect Dark or some other IP that they're working on, I think they would rather get out ahead of potential leaks and just say, and have the announcement be on their terms, even if it's just like a cool, hey, we're rebooting this logo. So we'll see.
I'm just going to go on the record and say there's no way it's going to be Perfect Dark.
Okay. All right. We have you on tape.
Is there a bet?
I will give you my San Francisco 49er pillow. There's no way.
What a prize.
I know. Slightly used. There's no way. But anyway, I think we see some Halo stuff, obviously. Actually, Ryan, the point that I wanted to bring up, which you covered extremely well, I think Microsoft have three main points to talk to. They have to talk about the launch lineup, like you said. They have to talk about their future plans for Xbox to convince people to buy this thing. And then they also have to talk about the price. So there are three main points of news. I imagine one of their events will talk about all their future plans, like you were saying, and try to convince people like, hey, speaking directly to the Sony fans, actually, I think what it is like, hey, we know you like Sony for a particular thing. Like Miranda said, those very tonally heavy, moody sort of mature games like The Last of Us and now Ghosts and you know, what Sony does really, really well, God of War. Speak to those guys. Then another point, they'll drop the price. And I imagine they might also talk about Lockhart if there is one in development as well. And that would be a really great point to position. Well, this is how much the Series X is going to cost. We also have this version that does what it does for less. And then the third point, you know, circling back to what you said, Ryan, the launch lineup. So they need to sell exactly what games you're going to be able to play day one on the Series X if you decide to pick one up. It's kind of weird. It's a little flexible and fluid right now, I think, because there is so much overlap between the Series X and the Xbox One X since they want to support it for so many more years. So I'm not sure how they're going to position that, but I imagine we're going to get announcements from Infinite. We'll get the big blowout deep dive at some point in the near future. I hope we find out whatever Obsidian is working on as well. And then I imagine we're going to get another peek at Playground, whatever they're doing. I'm not saying it's the other Playground team, the one that we think is working on Fable, but we might see whatever's in the tank, so to speak.
All right, good stuff. That pause was brought to you by Red Rigos, our producer. That was for you, buddy. All right, next topic this week. WWE, WWE 2K games. This is, you know, the drama is scripted on WWE in the actual
wrestling's not fake.
I've opened Pandora's box now, but you couldn't really script this in terms of what's going on with the video games. 2K confirming there will not be a mainline proper quote unquote simulation WWE 2K game for this year. The last year's game, let's just call a spade, was pretty much a disaster on any metric you want to. I mean, I don't know how it sold. Maybe it still ended up selling well, but
it was very bad.
It was very bad, and they're not doing one. But
good call.
They're taking the year off there, but they are still going to be releasing. They have a new game. It's almost as if they had like a backup plan here. WWE 2K Battlegrounds will be out this fall, and new arcade style brawler. And it's
Have you seen it?
The trailer looks, it could be goofy fun. Why not?
Yeah, it's like the NFL Blitz of wrestling, right?
Right. And it's, in fact, it's made by Saber Interactive, who does the NBA 2K Playgrounds, also for 2K. So it's that exact same kind of over-the-top NFL Blitz, NBA Jam kind of vibe, but applied to the WWE.
I'll give them this. The gameplay looks fine. The art direction, I just think it looks odd. They all look really plasticky and
Well, it seems to be by design.
Yeah, it's thematic.
Whether you like it or not, I mean, it's clearly a choice.
Yeah. You have to go overly stylized when you have actual likenesses of real people who are being fed to crocodiles. You know, like you can't have a photorealistic John Cena getting mauled by a reptile. Like, I don't think that's cool with his PR agent, but it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, it's super hyper over the top, so they need an art style to match it.
Do you think
allowed
to
have agents?
Hey Brandon, do you think they borrowed the gator feeding tech from the Mafia team at 2K? No.
They all work so closely together. I don't know.
Is that a dot like EXE that you can just file save as and
really leveraging companies' energy to make the best product possible?
We posted the trailer over on YouTube, and people do not like the art style.
No,
they think it's not going over well.
I think there's a way it can do cartoony fun with a likeness of people without looking like these characters.
I've got no skin in the game on this one. I'm not a WWE person, but I find the larger story fascinating that the game tanked and then they've got this other thing that they were going to be putting this out anyway. Probably the intention was alongside the proper WWE 2K21, but now this Battlegrounds is the main thing, and maybe it was never meant to be the main thing, and the community's having an interesting reaction to it, as you talked about, Destin.
Yeah. Mitchell Saltzman did our review, and we almost did a glitch montage video just
of 2K20.
Of 2K20, just from his general capture. It's just, you know, we got distracted with the 9 million other things we're doing. But I'm looking at his review right now. It did not review favorably. And if you go watch the IGN review for WWE 2K20, or just you're a WWE fan, you already know that game, not great. it did not go over great. Tons of major problems.
To see it.
We gave it a 4.3. We gave it a 4.3.
Wow.
Whew.
It's very specific.
Wow. What did it do to earn that 0.3? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
It just
it works sometimes.
So, yes, favorite wrestlers from across eras in over-the-top superstar designs will star in the new wrestling game. 2K says it's focusing on social pick-up-and-play fun instead of a more traditional wrestling sim, due for release this fall. Now, as for WWE 2K21, the company said that it has heard feedback from fans regarding 2K20, and it's expanding the production timeline for the next WWE 2K game.
That's good.
Quote, good. We are applying what we've learned to the next WWE 2K simulation with a renewed focus on quality and fun. As part of that commitment, we are extending the production timeline and will not be releasing a WWE 2K simulation game in the fiscal year 2021.
All it took was nonstop lambasting of their product in order for them to say, hey, maybe we should stop rushing these out the door and, you know, make sure some QC gets all over it. I mean, when literally everybody who plays that game has technical problems, it's a rush product. And they honestly, what if they had just delayed it, refined it, and released and did this that year and released this product in 2021? Maybe there's something weird with the console generation. I don't know.
You never know. Yeah, it's development is a hell of a challenge, no matter whether you're up against a generational gap or not. But you know, I wonder too.
So, that too.
I mean, I've talked about that on here before because I talked to Ramon Russell a few times a year. He's at Sony San Diego on the MLB The Show franchise. And I've talked to him. I talked to him almost probably every year. I just say, man, you guys, I don't know how you guys do it, because sports game developers have effectively 9 months to create a new game each year, because there's a little bit of pre-production and then there's just certification and testing for the last bit of that as well. So you just, you don't get a lot of time on an annualized franchise, and it's a really difficult, you know, as if game development's hard enough as it is from everything we hear and read and see and talk to people about, but boy, doing it on an annual basis in those kind of sprints is pretty crazy. Now, the other point I wanted to bring up on this is, I wonder if the WWE itself had any say in this decision, because they're the license holder. It's in their interest to not have a crappy product with their name on it. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's any sort of clause in the contract that says if the Metacritic is below a certain point, we can reevaluate for that year, or if they maybe it's less formal than that, and they just kind of pick up the phone and call 2K and say, hey, you know, how do we make this right? I don't know. But you got to figure the WWE was involved in this somehow.
Mm-hmm. I imagine so. I mean, look how protective Lucas is, right?
Yeah.
It's like at some point when you're licensing Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, like all these major licensees, you know, they do have a hand in it. And at some point there is such a thing as a product damaging the brand, even if it is a licensed video game. So I imagine they step in or at least have a strongly focused conversation.
Right. I mean, hey, you want to maintain a healthy business relationship because WWE 2K makes 2K a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So you probably want to make sure you're staying on good terms with your licensor.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do, but we're starting to run out of time here. Let's get to the loot box, and hopefully we can squeeze in both that and unlock block trivia. So on the loot box side, this question left over from last week. We didn't get to it last week. Mark from Stourbridge in the UK asks, what are your favorite Xbox console launch memories? He says, I remember buying my launch 360 back in 2005 with Perfect Dark Zero, King Kong, and then, of course, you got Hexic HD on the hard drive.
Hexic.
Yeah. Very good.
He spent months playing against Perfect Dark Zero bots, and it was the best thing ever, until he finally got Xbox Live. So quickly, I want to go around the virtual table here. And it can be original Xbox, 360, Xbox One. Give me a fun memory from the launch of one of the Xbox consoles.
Yeah, mine's pretty easy, because the Xbox 360 for me, I was able to get it a few weeks ahead of actual launch, because I won my 360 through the Mountain Dew thing, and they shipped it to me a tad early. There was this Mountain Dew thing where you could collect bottle caps, and apparently everybody where I worked had bottle caps, and people would just give them to me. So I would go enter them all, and then I'm like, yeah, I won the console. They were like, what, really? It worked? And I'm like, yeah, because I would find the optimal time to enter, because you can see how many entrants there were. And at like 3 a.m., I'd just like say, okay, put the 150 codes in the pool of 500, so my chances were like one in four, and I won the 360. I played the crap out of Hexic. I was playing I think Need for Speed was one of my early games. I also love Perfect Dark, and there's another game, but I won't steal yours, Ryan.
Oh yeah, well yeah. Since you set me up, I'll go next. The two that come to mind, yeah, I mean, for me it's the 360 launch as well, because the Xbox One, I was at IGN and it was fine. It doesn't strike me as, it's not eventful in my memory the way that the 360 launch definitely was. We got ours super early too, because I was at OXM at the time and magazines operated the future. So we got them at the end of September. So two full months early.
Wow.
And so we started reviewing games and stuff. And I'll tell you, Condemned, which is still one of my favorite 360 launch games. And first person melee, just creepy. I I don't know if I'd quite call it a horror game, but it's definitely a psychological thriller of sorts. Of course, the infamous mannequin level in the department store. There's the elementary, the elementary school was terrifying. But just, I actually had to have a friend of mine come over, and it was only a one player game, but I had to have him just play it with me, just sit there, because I did not want to play that game by myself. It was so creepy, but Condemned was so well done. Condemned 2 never did it for me the same way. But man, yeah, I that was my sleeper launch title. Because I mean, you had Call of Duty 2, which was brilliant. Project Gotham Racing 3, which was also brilliant. And then, yeah, Hexic HD was awesome, pre-installed on the hard drive too. But Condemned, yay, that was just nervously, anxiously trying to get through Condemned with my friend Brian was good times. Brandon?
Everyone needs a Brian.
Yes.
I don't really have a launch event memory. I don't think I've ever gone to a console launch event. The closest I got is like my Amazon order has shipped. My Xbox 360 is probably, I think the only launch events I've ever actually gone to were like GTA 4 and was something for World of Warcraft. But the Xbox 360 was around the time where I started purchasing my own major purchases. So, you know, I budgeted for it and all that. And I think I picked it up 6 months after it launched. But I bought it with Dead Rising, and I played Dead Rising for 3 straight days. You know, just over and over and over again, trying to get the best pathing on
it. That game was tough. Right angle.
It was hard, man. Yeah, I remember how hard it was. But I remember thinking, because I don't know if you guys remember, that was right around the time when like Dawn of the Dead, the remake, or Day of the Dead, whatever it was, with Mekhi Phifer when they're in the mall. And I remember thinking just like, there was a perfect tie-in for that, and what a cool experience it would be to survive a zombie apocalypse in a mall. You have all these resources at your disposal. I'm going to duct tape a knife to a golf club. And then you could do that in Dead Rising. Yep. And I played the hell out of that game and just really, really loved it. And I think that was probably, and
you could get my the Mega Man be, suit.
What? Yeah. The Mega Man suit.
Mm-hmm. Did you find the lightsaber?
I don't remember, but I know if you kill the enough zombies, if you kill the population of the town,
yeah, 65,000,
the Mega Blaster, something like that.
Yeah,
but that Gears of War as well. There's a moment in Gears of War for me where it's really early on in the campaign, but Marcus come around the corner or whatever, and you see like this landscape, and there's this single God Ray coming down, and it was the first time I had ever really seen that in a video game. On that new tech, and I just remember thinking, like, yeah, this is it, man. This is the future of video games right here. Look at that lighting.
It's a stunning game.
Yeah, so that was something that always stands out for me.
Miranda?
Oh, man. When the Xbox 360 launched, it was a little before I really cared about launch titles, or, like, launch, because I was really young. One of my, I guess, early Xbox 360 memories is being really jealous that my boyfriend at the time had Gears of War and I didn't. My mom wouldn't buy it for me and my dad wouldn't either, but he had it and he was playing it all the time and not talking to me. And I was really mad that he was playing it. Not that he was not talking to me. It's like, I want that. that was one thing I remembered. And then for, I guess, most notable, I guess, would be the Xbox One launch. That's when I was in college and I had money because I was working like 2 jobs. I was like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get the day one edition. I'm so excited. And then something went wrong with the GameStop that I pre-ordered at. And they just gave me a regular ass Xbox One and not my day one edition. And I was so pissed. Oh, and then man. I had an issue with the power brick and then I had to send stuff back. But then I had like doubles of a bunch of stuff, which was weird, but fine. And so pretty much my launch memories are just kind of chaos. But... it's
well,
okay.
Here's hoping that you have better memories this fall with the Series X. Yeah, I mean, it won't be long. I mean, you look at the calendar, we're at the end of April. So we're at the most, it's going to be, 7 more months? Yeah,
wow.
7 months or less. There is no way it's going to be more than 7 months, provided that, again, as Phil has said, they're still on track for this year. So we're looking at 7 months, probably. I mean, most likely it's between 6 and 7, because 6 months from now would put us at the end of October. So probably if I were a betting man, as I am, I would say 6.5 months is about what we're looking at for from here on out. So it won't be too much longer. All right, we'll do the trivia next week.
No.
We're about out of time. I know.
I think we all know it anyway.
Good. Well, I'm happy to get everybody a point. You got another week to think about it, but don't Google it. I'll give the shout out anyway. Johnny Thomas, his gamer tag is Johnny Jet. We'll get to his trivia question next week. And again, please keep your trivia questions coming. I need more good ones. Unlocked@IGN.com. The question for multiple choice answers. Would love more good questions to be able to stump the panel with here. So with that, we'll head out. You can find me on Twitter @DMC_Ryan. Brandon, how about you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter @BrandonTyrell.
Mr. Legarry.
@DestinLegarry. Very soon, if you follow me on Twitter, you're probably going to see my wife cut my hair because it's getting too long.
Really?
Oh, yeah, so stay tuned.
I'm barreling towards that eventuality too.
I'm just like kind of planting it all down at this point. It's just I feel blessed though. I'm 39 and still have a full head of hair, so nice. I can't complain. Miranda Sanchez, please take us home.
Yes, you can find me @HavocGrows on the Tavic with a K on Twitter, Instagram, and pretty much everywhere else. And I just got to trim my bangs, so I'm lucky. I'm good.
All set. All right. For Destin, Brandon, and Miranda, I'm Ryan. This was Unlocked 441. We will see you all next time.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.